Sister Lorraine Booth, the sister-in-law of Tony Blair, live out of UK this morning. Sister Lorraine Booth, in many instances, a demonization of Islam. And as a woman, this is one of the target areas, you know, for many a people. And one must, I must admit, being a Muslim, born Muslim myself, that one can debate about implementation of certain laws, you know, pertaining to women and their rights and so forth. But the fact that the rights are there and all of that, that one can never debate. Islam has clearly defined all of this already. How did you manage all of this? Was it something you had to look at, something you had to debate, something you had to ask about? What exactly is your position as a woman when you come into Islam?
You know, there is this great, this huge patronizing idea in the United Kingdom and Europe and America that every Muslim woman has to be rescued from Islam. Imagine that. How patronizing, how wrong can we, how wrong-minded can we be? Every woman who wears anything from a veil to a light scarf on her head to be modest is suddenly vulnerable and under control of a wicked man and is controlled by the evil of Islam and must be rescued. To undo that is a huge, huge task. But I think it is doable. I think it is possible because more women in Islam are being seen in the universities and are actually choosing to radicalize their dress. Now, isn't that interesting? The more we are in bikinis and low-cut tops in the West, the more young women, some of them converts, are saying, I want a choice to dress however I like. So we're actually challenging the morals of the West with our dress. Now, I'm going to be asked about this a lot, and the support of the sisters and the understanding of how they dress and why they dress is important, because I've come to Islam like a six-month-old baby. I converted, and now I'm learning. So the laws are still new to me, but I know the people, and I know the women that I meet, and they are more liberated, happier, and freer than my friends of the same age who aren't Muslim.
And in your travels in Palestine and the rest of the other parts like Iran and maybe Iraq and so forth, have you seen an educated people? Have you seen a liberated? I'm talking specifically of women as opposed to, you know, the stereotype that's going out there. They're totally suppressed, totally oppressed, not being able to go. Have you met a people that you could sit and have a very wonderful conversation about world politics or whatever else, and people that are, you know, university graduates and so forth? Have you met up with such ladies wherever you've traveled, Sister Lorraine?
Well, listen, I'll give you an example. I went to do a television program in Lebanon in 2006, and some young girls from a university in Beirut who were members of Hezbollah came to take me around various sites. These women were studying advanced technical engineering, philosophy, and the media, and they wore the veil and were so highly educated, so respected by their peers, so respected by everyone from sires to sheikhs, that it showed me again the misconception we have that women are uneducated. And of course, in Palestine, 50% of the students are women. Women have equal rights. Women have all the rights that we have. In Iran, they've had deputy prime ministers, deputy presidents, rather, who've been women. We haven't had that in the United Kingdom or America. How dare we make these presumptions? Pakistan and India have had women leaders. We haven't had that for 25 years. We had one leader in the United Kingdom and no female president in America. So I have seen that at all tiers.
Now, Lorraine, the other big issue is you being sold maybe throughout the world as Tony Blair's sister-in-law. And I don't think it's a tag you'd like to remain with more than anything else. Tony Blair had his fair share of fame and whatever else, and maybe infamy as well. But at the end of the day, how does it come across to you? Tony Blair's sister-in-law accepts Islam. This is how the SMSs are running right through South Africa over the weekend and in many other parts of the world, perhaps. What has the family got to say about you coming into Islam?
I think your first question is more interesting, actually, because you asked about what's it like being branded as Tony Blair's sister-in-law. Well, perhaps you have to accept that Allah has a plan for this, and at a time when Tony Blair is at the forefront of anti-Islamic wars and clearly sees the people of the Ummah as collateral damage in the making, how significant is it that Allah reached to me and said, will you stand up and be counted in the Ummah? Who knows what the plan is there?
Yes, absolutely. So obviously that is something that as you go along would be said from time to time that yes, this is Lorraine Booth and this is the sister-in-law of Tony Blair. Now, the rest of the family members, how has they responded to you coming into Islam?
My mom was very funny. My mom is 73. Mm-hmm. And I told her about my experience in the shrine, and she cried and she said, that is so beautiful, I'm so happy for you. And I said, so I'm thinking about becoming a Muslim. She said, I support you. The next week I saw her and I had a scarf on my head, and she said, why are you wearing a scarf? I said, I've converted to Islam like I said I might do. And she said, Islam? I thought you were going to be a Buddhist, they're crazy. So, no, I'm laughing because since then she's listened to me talk and she's seen how happy I am. And she's very happy. The most significant people are my daughters. My daughters wanted to ask, will you drink alcohol? I said no. They were very pleased. Will you dress modestly? I said yes. They were very pleased. And my youngest daughter is 7. And most mornings at 6 o'clock in the morning, she'll get up and pray with me. So they've been really more than accepting. They'd be delighted.
And I saw the one daughter, the one that was on the YouTube
Alexandra.
Yeah, that we had, and she came there and she said takbir. So within the family, if they also, will they go along with you in the Islam to accept Islam, or what happens to them, the kids?
As you well know, Islam is not possible to be enforced. People have to find it in their hearts. And my children are very happy in the Muslim community and with our Muslim friends, and they feel okay to say takbir, Allahu Akbar, and I will let them go along that path and encourage them. But, you know, they're very small and it's very new, so we shall wait and see.
Yes, and when we go to your work as a journalist, you've had an opportunity also to interview people like Mahmoud Abbas. Now, have you specifically drawn a line for yourself about issues pertaining to Palestine, or do you go there being totally impartial, talking to all parties and trying to get as many of them being together? How do you approach the Palestinian problem, Sister Lorraine, now especially that you are Muslim and getting into Palestine?
I made it quite clear that it's my strong opinion. As a columnist, see, I'm a commentator. I'm not necessarily a news journalist. That's not my main work. It's as a commentator. And as a commentator, I see what's being done in Palestine as the apartheid of the 21st century. I will comment on that, and I will use examples from my visits there, and I will show the truth of what is happening there. But and I will interview anybody who wants to be interviewed by me when I'm there. But I'm quite clear, this is apartheid, it must end. Desmond Tutu says it's worse than apartheid, and that is my duty as a human being, to make it as clear as possible for people who don't get there and don't get to read about this situation and meet the people, that this truth comes out.
What has happened to you ever since you have exposed yourself or publicly went on air saying you are a Muslim? Has there been a lot of visits? Has there been a lot of requests for you to come and be guest speaker at some of the functions? What has basically happened to your life? Any difference, Sister Lorraine?
Do you know what's amazing? Is I've just been inundated with around, I'm estimating it, between 400 and 600 Facebook messages, all from Muslims around the world, from the Philippines to Bangalore to Palestine to South America, saying, Assalamu alaikum, welcome sister to the Ummah, we love you. It's as if everybody just wants to share the welcome with me and my daughters, and I'm so, so grateful. So thank you to everybody who sent those messages. And, you know, nobody's pushing me or you must do this or asking. This is really nice, you know. I haven't been nagged to do things. I've just been welcomed, and that welcome is still going on. So I wake up every morning and I check my messages, and there's 100 more welcomes. So, you know, salam alaikum to all my brothers and sisters, and thank you.
Alaikum salam. And when we look at some of the other areas of activism that you involve, anti-war coalition and all, stop the war and so forth, what about your trip to Gaza with the ship from Cyprus in 2008? Just give us some indication. You know, it appears that every time, you know, we're reading about you, we're seeing a stronger message of support for the Palestinians emerging from the different type of activities that you are involved in.
Well, you know, 2008 where a group of American women started the Free Gaza movement. In that time, nobody had heard of it. It was an idea of breaking loose the siege of Gaza, a serious stain on modern humanity. I'm telling you, 1.8 million people being gradually starved of the nutrients in their diet and emotional, physical well-being, and nobody's listening. So these women said, look, we're going to buy two old ships and ask people, invite them to go on the ships. Well, because Israel is known for its brutality, you know, the last ship to have been blown up by Israel was the USS Liberty, an American boat. Can you imagine? An American naval vessel. Nobody talks about this. Blown up by Israel in 68, I think, with 37 deaths and hundreds of injuries. Nobody talks about it because they wanted to show their power, that they control that part of the Mediterranean. Don't mess with us. It was hard getting people to go on the boats. Can you imagine? We're going to sail through fishing vessels from Cyprus to Gaza. Every person on those ships, students, piano tuners, nurses, people with families like me, we signed wills and said, we're ready to do this, to go into that sea, to travel through the Gaza Strip, because we can't live in a world where this goes on. I can't bear it to think of those children. I can't bear it. So we got on the ships, and it took 36 hours. Everybody was sick. Even the captain got seasick. He lay on his deck and was ill. And when we arrived, 20,000 people, Gazan people, Palestinians, were packing this broken-down dock in Gaza, children swimming up to our boats, people paddling in everything that they could get that would float, just to say, thank you, I can't believe ships have come to us, that people care. And I will never forget that as long as I live. And they have my heart, and they have all my spirit of strength, the people of Gaza and across Palestine, because they need our help.
Absolutely, in every way. Sister Lorraine, as we come into the end of our interview, you mentioned something about the recitation of the Quran. And as you go along, are you slowly starting, or will you endeavor to learn some Arabic? Of course, being in the Middle East for periods of time, have you tried to learn some Arabic or the recitation of the Quran and so forth?
So I'm reading the prayers with an English translation next to it, but of course I say it in Arabic. I know some words in Arabic, mostly enough to get me along in the Gaza Strip. I will be doing lessons. You know, Islam is a lifelong learning, and I've got plenty of people willing to help me. But as I tell you, as a working mother, single mother, two children, you have to make time for this. So excuse me if I'm not a scholar yet.
Yes, it'll be very interesting as you go along, and lots you'll be able to learn. I think the most important is the transition from wherever you were into Islam. Is there a message you have for more especially the mothers and sisters? I mean, the men like us would also listen with great interest to what you're saying. But for a motivational message for the women out there practicing Islam, sometimes under atrocious conditions, sometimes under difficulty, but continue being Muslims on a daily basis, what would your message be? And even to the others listening who are not Muslim, what would you be saying to them this morning, Sister Lauren?
Every time you pray, your warmth between that you share between you and between Allah is generating a pulse that goes around the world. I really believe this. That's a billion prayers every day that changes people's hearts like me and reaches out and gives my children strength. When my husband had a terrible accident a year and a half ago, and he got brain damage, I felt the prayers of Muslims who I wasn't even part of the society then. Your prayers really help people. Your connection, even if you're just doing it the way you do it every day and you've forgotten quite why you're doing it, you really are helping the world to be a better place. And thank you so much.
Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you for being with us, Sister Lorraine. We'll chat to you sometime in future again. Have a wonderful day. Shukran jazilan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's right, and that was Sister Lauren Booth, the sister-in-law of Tony Blair, live out of UK this morning. Some very, very interesting observations about the Deen of Allah, the Deen of Islam, and Allah Ta'ala make it easy for her, inshallah. She's coming mid-September, she reverted to Islam. She's had a lot of exposure of the issues out there, especially in Palestine, out in Lebanon, and in Iran, and so forth. And as Allah Ta'ala willed for her, hidayat was placed for her, inshallah. And that, of course, brought her close to the deen of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Now she has accepted Islam. And this is a message. She says, Islam is a lifelong learning experience. And this is what she'll continue doing, inshallah. And Allah Ta'ala make it easy for her. Ameen, Ya Rabbul Alameen. As we go, we'd like to obviously listen to Ben Ami's 99 names of Allah Ta'ala that he sings, the glorious names of Allah Ta'ala that Ben Ami sings in praise of Allah Ta'ala's greatness. Muhammad Ben Ami, that's right. And this is the 99 names that we'll be listening to, inshallah. And almost coming to the end of our program, we praise Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given in so many things in the past also to the people of this world. Allah Ta'ala has given hidayat from the time of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Different people have different names and ways in which they come close to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make it easy for them as well, inshallah. And also for Sister Lauren, may it be a wonderful period of time for her too, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala accept.